Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at our top news at week's end. And the Supreme Leader of Iran called for calm on Friday during his first public address since last week's disputed presidential election plunged the Islamic Republic into political upheaval. During Friday prayers in the Iranian capital city of Tehran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei says President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was fairly reelected in a definitive vote. Speaking through a translator, he blamed allegations of voter fraud on propaganda from Iran's Zionist enemies, particularly media organizations run by the U.S., Britain, and other Western nations, which he called the leaders of world arrogance. The Ayatollah says that despite what people may think about how the vote took place, it's clear that by the turnout, people endorse the current system of government.
Among all ranks of people with a difference in their votes, you can see a consensus, a collective commitment for restoring and preserving their country, their establishment.
But as mentioned just a moment ago, the Iranian leadership clearly blaming the United States and other Western powers for stoking the unrest that continues to fill the streets of Iran.
Ill-wishers, they try to make believe in those media that there is a fight between supporters of the Islamic establishment and the opposition. No, that's not true. They have no right.
The Iranian leader Ali Khamenei also speaking out against the U.S., saying that the Americans are in no position to denounce Iran for its human rights record, referring to such events as the Branch Davidian siege in Waco, Texas in 1993. Khamenei says that Western powers have plenty of human rights issues of their own.
I believe the officials of America and some European countries, they should feel a little embarrassed. And they should not open their mouths and say anything they want to say.
Perhaps more importantly than anything else, the Ayatollah is saying that the election is final, there will be no revote, and any further demonstrations to protest what many believe to be a rigged election will be repressed. And that will be a key issue that we follow in the days ahead. On Friday, the House of Representatives voted 405-1 in favor of a non-binding resolution that championed the people of Iran pursuing their freedom in the face of a hostile and repressive regime. Back here at home on the financial front, the Department of Justice has announced charges against Texas billionaire Alan Stanford and four others in an over $7 billion scheme. A federal grand jury in Texas has indicted the group on 21 charges of fraud and obstruction stemming from a bank in Antigua. Assistant Attorney General Larry Brewer detailed some of the fraud that Stanford and his group are believed to have perpetrated.
Stanford and his co-defendants allegedly misused and misappropriated most of those investment assets, including diverting at least $1.6 billion into undisclosed personal loans to Stanford himself.
Mr. Brewer says it's clear that the Justice Department is moving forward in this case and will do everything it can to expose financial fraud and other wrongdoing wherever it exists.
The Department of Justice will vigorously root out and expose financial crimes that wreak havoc on innocent investors.
Meanwhile, on Wall Street, stocks ending the final trading day of the week mixed. While the Dow ended the day slightly down, Apple stock climbed higher upon the release of the latest and greatest iPhone. The Dow fell 16 points to finish at 85.39, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ gained 20 points to end the week at 18.27. The S&P 500 also up 3 points to round out the week at 9.21, Apple gaining 4 points on Friday. Doctors say they expect Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to make a full recovery from her surgery Friday for a broken right elbow. Clinton broke it when she tripped and fell at the State Department Wednesday while heading for a meeting at the White House. Clinton's chief of staff said she went home after her surgery early Friday at George Washington University Hospital. Decisions about several planned overseas trips in the days ahead will be made shortly. In other news, embattled Illinois Senator Roland Burris will not face perjury charges for his less-than-truthful answers to state lawmakers earlier this year. Prosecutors in Springfield say there's not enough evidence to support charges against the appointed U.S. senator. Burris was under investigation for his ever-changing story about how he got the nod from former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich to replace Barack Obama on Capitol Hill. The local county state's attorney, John Schmidt, says Burris was vague in some of his answers, but did not commit perjury. He says to have committed a crime, Burris would have had to know he was lying, and Schmidt says the evidence isn't there to back up those kinds of charges. Meanwhile, Obama will be staying out of the race to fill his old seat in the U.S. Senate. Press Secretary Robert Gibbs tells reporters that the president is not going to pick a candidate in the Illinois Senate race. The declaration comes after Obama and several of his top advisors met with Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan. Still to come in this edition of Dateline Washington, we'll have some end-of-the-week fun with the Capitol Steps, who offer some commencement advice to our high school and college grads. We'll learn about the latest controversy engineered by former President Jimmy Carter in the Middle East. And when we come back on Dateline Washington, California Congressman John Campbell is with us to explain why he believes President Obama's brand of regulatory reform on Wall Street is the wrong way to go. Stay tuned.